Please take your Bibles to Joshua chapter 12 this morning, Joshua chapter 12. And let's ask God to give us wisdom and understanding before we study this passage here together. Father, we thank you for your truth, your word. Thank you for making yourself known to us. Thank you for sharing us, telling us all these stories of the past, real accounts of people as they sought to follow you in all their failures, all their victories. Lord, as we read and seek to understand these passages, help us to see how they apply to our lives even here today. Pray that you would help me to clearly explain the truth that is here, and may we see how this should change us as we live daily for you. Lord, we thank you above all for the victory that is ours through Jesus Christ, accomplished on the cross of Calvary. And may we give you the glory as you change us from the inside out to be more and more like Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, Conquering of Kings. Conquering of Kings. You know, as a boy, I loved to imagine fighting and defeating imaginary enemies. I even had a sword made out of a broken ski pole. There was always the winter swords from icicles. Anyone ever did that? Where they don't tend to last very long. I don't know why, but then we made wooden swords and knives, and we made guns out of branches. I even figured out how to make little firecracker-looking things. You know, those red osier plants. If you cut them, they have this soft little core, and you can stick a little piece of wood down it, and it makes it. You cut them just the right length, they look like, you know, little firecrackers. You know, imagination, boys running wild, right? And my boys are doing the same. Of course, they have all sorts of other things to spark their imagination, like Ninjago and whatnot. And they're pretending to do their little ninja moves and whatnot. We even have a ninja course in our basement. That's mostly one of the things I do to trick kids into getting exercise, as one of my kids described it. But anyway, you know, we like to imagine conquering those enemies, right? And today we're going to talk about a passage where it was not imaginary enemies, but real enemies who were conquered. And both the lists of the kings conquered by Moses and those conquered by Joshua. And from that, I think we can learn about real conquests in our lives today. A week ago, learned from the previous passage about doing as we're told, considering the aspects of doing exactly as we're told. As Joshua did that, he did exactly as God told him to. He hamstrung the horses, he burned the chariots, he destroyed all the cities, he took the plunder as they were commanded. This was not them committing genocide, this was God's judgment on wicked nations. And Joshua did exactly so as God instructed, not trusting in the normal means of warfare like horses and chariots, but instead trusting in God. And from that, you know, that we should do exactly, we need to do exactly as we're told. First, in salvation, we need to repent as we're called to in Scripture, and to trust in Jesus Christ alone, not in our works, not in what we do, not in our money, not in our all of our abilities, but to trust in Jesus Christ alone, as Scripture calls us to. And then to seek to please God, to live for Him, not for ourselves, but to live for the one who died for us and rose again. This should be our focus in life, doing exactly as we're told. And then secondly, second aspect of doing all that we're told, as you saw, as Joshua did all that God told him to, he defeated all the kings, all the land, all the places, did all that God commanded, as it emphasized there in the text. And are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do, as Matthew 28:20 tells us, to learn to observe all that Christ has commanded? Not just the parts that we find acceptable, but all of His instruction for our lives. And when we do, that's when we find true rest. Rest that Israel never found. But as Hebrews, we saw, challenges us, is ours through Jesus Christ. As we submit to Him, as we live for Him, and ultimately as we go to be in heaven with Him. And now, here in chapter 12, from the list of all the kings conquered, first by Moses, and then by Joshua, I think we can learn about conquering kings, Conquering of Kings, as we're challenged here. We have that up there? Maybe. There we go. The conquering of kings, by noting two stages, as we'll see. First, in verses 1 through 6, and then 7 through 24. You'll notice in the first section of this chapter is a focus on the past. This is what has already been accomplished under Moses. And then the second half of the chapter is the present. It's the things that have just happened, right, under Joshua and his leadership, which ultimately is looking to chapters 13 and beyond, the future, and how they will be dividing up the land and living out and continuing what God has called them to do. So what is the first stage here? Maybe. There. Is to remember the past victories. Remember the past victories in verses 1 through 6. It begins with listing of the two kings that were conquered under Moses. Sihon of the Amorites, he's king of the Amorites in verses 2 and 3. As you'll see here, okay. Yep. We'll let you advance it there. So you'll notice this is Sihon would be down here in the south, right? This is as Israel came up and began to enter the land. God gave them victory over Sihon and Og of Bashan, right? Two regions on the east side of the Jordan River. And we learn more about them in these conquests back in Numbers 21, verses 21 through 35, and Deuteronomy 2, 26 through chapter 3, verse 11. It's also described in Nehemiah 9, 22, and Psalm 136, 19, and 20. Right? These, you find out some more details about Og as it goes through, right? He is one of the remnants of the giants. His bed, according to Deuteronomy 3:11, was 9 cubits by 4 cubits. And a cubit is a foot and a half, so you're talking 13 and a half feet by 6 feet. Right? Some of you are tall, but you're not that tall, right? This is a true giant, and he was one of the last. And yet God gave them victory over them. These guys ruled over regions, in contrast to the later kings that are going to be described, who are more like city kings in a small little city with the surrounding villages here. But God gave them great victory through Moses and his leadership. And he's reflecting, and the text is reflecting on what God has done, the past victories, giving them all this land here on the east side of the Jordan River, even before they entered into the promised land. And if you remember from, and it talks about in verse 6, how Moses gave the 2.5 tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, which is also talked about in Numbers 32, 33, gave them that land. Now remember, the stipulation was, you need to come and help fight. Don't leave your brethren to fight their battles alone. And they did. They sent their troops, and they are faithful to that even to the end. In chapter 13, verse 8, 14, verse 3, 18, verse 22, and chapter 22, verse 4, he says, you can go home now because you've done everything that God commands. And God being faithful, through that, they were faithful to what God had called them to do, and God gave them the land, the rich pasture lands of Bashan. Later in Scripture, we talk about the cattle of Bashan. Some of you would look at that land maybe and think, this is good cattle country. Well, maybe not, because you're from Iowa and we have some of the best cropland, agricultural land in the world. But this is what God had done through Moses, giving them these past victories. I was thinking about some of the past battles that were fought in our home growing up between my siblings and I. There was even some kind of knockout, drag-out fights. A lot of yelling. And yet today, I'm able to get together with my siblings and enjoy peace. Enjoy the benefits of how we have learned to get along and the benefits of those victories. Basically, we all listen to my sister Grace Ann and we'll all be fine. Right? You know how that is. The oldest always gets to boss everybody else along. But no, I'm so thankful for the family God's given, but it was not always peaceful in our home growing up. And by God's grace, we have accomplished, God has given us victories there. And it is a blessing to get together with my siblings. Are you remembering the past victories in your life? Not just the physical, but the spiritual. Too often, we celebrate only things like birthdays and graduations and a new job when there are far greater victories to celebrate in life. Do you remember the day you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? When you did what Romans 10:9-10 says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. No more, no less. There's nothing else you need to do. It is simply trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Saying, I cannot save myself, and I'm asking you, casting myself on the mercy of God. And Jesus promises to save you. Do you remember that day? You remember when you passed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love, as Colossians 1:13 describes. Your life was transformed. You were changed gloriously. And I encourage you, if you know that day, write it down in your Bible. Maybe you don't remember that day, though. Like me, I prayed a prayer when I was 6 years old. I don't remember the details of it. Apparently, I was like kind of clueless as a kid. I don't remember anything before 4. Some of you, my wife remembers like under 2. I was apparently off in La La Land or whatever. I don't know. But I appreciate what Chap Betta says in his book, Evangelism for the Tongue-Tied. He encourages those of us who have been saved at a young age, and then there usually was a point in our lives where we became convinced that Christ was worth following. We may not remember all that God saved us from, and our life honestly probably didn't look that different for the outside, but there came a point at 14 years of age where I was struggling with my salvation, assurance of my salvation. Now I prayed again to make sure, but God used 2 Peter chapter 1 in my life to help me to realize I had not been growing. I had not been adding to my faith. And that I needed to get busy adding to my faith virtue and a virtue knowledge and knowledge self-control and self-control perseverance, godliness and godliness, brotherly kindness, and the capstone being love. Because if you don't, the text goes on to say, it's easy to forget that you're saved. Even to blindness. And that's where I was. And I'm so thankful that God worked in my heart to convince me that Christ was worth it and worth pursuing. And I stand before you today because of God's work in my life. What about your life? Are you pursuing Christ wholeheartedly? Have you had that victory? Do you realize that's what a changed life should look like? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, and if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you come to Christ, everything about you changes, even though it may not seem like it. And some of us, it's even physical things, right? I still can't get over the fact that my father-in-law at one point had long hair. You know, was a smoker, and it just, like, I can't envision him that way. But that's God's work in his life, right? And some of you can testify to others, and you're not the same person that you used to be, because God has worked in your life. Do you remember the other great spiritual victories in your life? Maybe when you're baptized. For me, it's 1992, November 8th, when I was called to ministry, when God worked in my life, October 28th, 2001, when I got married. Now that's a victory, because that's the other great means that God has used in my life, right? Hopefully you remember the day you got married and God's provision of a godly wife for me. I'm thankful for that. When God called us here in August 2009, when I got ordained to the ministry, when there's people speaking my life saying, yes, this man has been called by God, November 14th, 2010. There's other points. We don't necessarily know the days, but the victories that God accomplished. We just had our nephew here again yesterday, Micah, as many of you have met. He has one eye because the other eye was lost to cancer. He was born as a preemie, almost didn't make it the first several months of his life. Ultimately got cancer below his left eye. And now God has called into ministry. He's studying at Faith Baptist Bible College to go into the pastorate. That's God's victory. I remember at points thinking, God, why have you let this happen to him? Not only that, then a younger brother who's dealing with other health problems. And yet those are victories that God accomplished in their lives. Think of my own brother. Was with Jesus. And the comfort that God used, even you guys and others, to bring us through that time. And then to walk through to his cancer. And we're praising the Lord, she's cancer free. Right? Those are victories we should be celebrating, but God's working, and I can look out at you guys and see and to think what God is doing in each of your lives. And this is only what God can do. Don't forget these things. Do you realize these past victories, though, should encourage us as we face the future challenges? Hebrews chapter 12, it says, seeing we have this great cloud of witnesses around us, but it says, therefore, where the great cloud of witnesses is the great hall of faith in Hebrews 11. And of all these, that even though they didn't receive the promises in this life, they looked to the builder of the city who was God. And they are now watching, cheering us on, as it were. And the greatest example is Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He should be our greatest encouragement as we look for. He goes on to say, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. For you have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. We just talked about this last Sunday night with the teens. You haven't done what Christ did. Are you bleeding for your problems? Are you bleeding to you in the face of the difficulties? Most of us haven't gone that far. And yet Christ did that for us. He is our example. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and verses beginning in verse 11 here, it says, now all those things happened to them as examples. It's talking about the Old Testament, what happened to the Israelites. And then they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. That's the admonition for us. This is what we should learn. Not only that, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. You see, the encouragements of the past victories should give us encouragement as we face the present trials and ultimately the future trials, and encourage us to keep serving the Lord. So are you doing that? Are the past victories encouraging, or are you just dwelling in the past, wistfully hoping that things will change in the present and the future? You know, the glory days are really, as Francis Schaeffer called them, a combination of a bad memory and a good imagination. Right? If we're honest, if we really go back and remember, it really wasn't that great back then, and we're probably just putting some whitewash on it. Or the thinking that if we just hang on till the rapture, then it'll all be great. That's not how God calls us to think. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, talking about the rapture, and then it challenges us to be sober, be prepared. right? To be living for Him now. Or as Titus 2, 11 through 14 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." Not just hanging on until Christ comes back, but zealous for good works. Living for Christ. Are you doing that? Are you remembering the past victories as encouragement for future challenges in living for God? That's the first stage. The second stage is to rejoice at the present victories in verses 7 through 24. This is the passage where it goes on to describe the victories over all these kings in the land under Joshua. 31 kings. And you go through and read of those. And you can, if you've been here, notice of these kings, there's about verses 9 through 16 describe the southern kings. So basically here south. And then verses 17 through 24 describe the northern kings that were defeated. And there's some interesting details as you go through there. I mean, and you can study those out. But the point is, overall, is this is what God has done just in the immediate present. This is fresh still in their minds, these victories that God has enabled them to accomplish, fulfilling what Deuteronomy 7 verse 24 states. And He will deliver their kings into your hand, and you will destroy their name from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. God predicted that. And this played out under Joshua. That's really what this chapter is fulfillment of God's prophecy. He was saying, "I'm going to give you victory over kings, and here's the list of all the kings that God gave them victory over." And then, not only that, it's the places. From the Lebanon to the north to the Negev and the south and all the mountains, plains, slopes, and wilderness in between. God gave them the victory over that. And over the peoples, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. These are the people that were living in the land that God enabled them to have victory over, that God was judging because of their sin. Given them 400 years of grace. As He told Abraham in Genesis 15. It's going to be 400 years. That's a long time for people to get right with God. And yet they refused to. Things got worse and worse. To the point where God said, enough. And He judges them using Israel. And He takes away their land and gives it to Israel. His righteous judgment, the present victories under Joshua. Recently, my wife and I were commenting about our children, and we remember back to the early days, and it's like every day is meltdown over the smallest of things. The older ones don't tend to do that anymore, which is such a blessing, right? And there's some others that are still working on it. But we're thankful for the victories that God has given in their lives. And we're rejoicing at that. And we look forward to the day when, we get to be the grandparents. Right? Because that's the best part. I mean, it's the real reason you have kids. Somebody said, remember, don't kill your kids because eventually they'll give you grandkids. even when those days you feel like it. Are you rejoicing at the present victories in your life? Not the physical, but the spiritual. Don't just count the bank totals, the attendance numbers, the numbers of kids, the projects done, the numbers of books that you have, or the Lego sets that you've completed, or that you've acquired, or the cars, or the tractors, or the coon dogs, or the Milwaukee tools, right? Don't just count on those. Are you noticing and celebrating the changed lives through the power of the gospel and the Word of God? As Romans 1:16 says, the power is, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. It's the power of God when someone's life is transformed through the gospel. And they go out of they leave the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That is a true miracle. Spiritual rebirth. But it doesn't stop there. Hebrews 4:12-13 says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit. I don't know about you, but I can't really tell the difference. Joints and marrow. I mean, especially prior to all our modern technology of different imaging, telling the difference. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Can you tell the difference between somebody's thoughts and intents? No, but God can. And His Word. There is no creature hidden from His sight, and all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. God's Word is powerful at work in your life. And I can testify to seeing the Word of God, even just recently, working that He's cutting to the heart of the matter, showing sin for what it is, and showing where we need to change. And it's God who's doing that through His Word. Are you noticing the people you're discipling, maybe your kids, your family, friends that are growing in Christ? And you should be discipling them, right? Remember, your kids are your first mission field. Don't forget that. And as the power of sin and death are overcome, as 1 Corinthians 15 describes the victory that Christ has accomplished for us through the power of death and resurrection, that's the gospel. And He has taken the sting of death on Himself. So it no longer has that for us as Christians. And we can have hope, and as it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That what you do matters for eternity because of what Christ did. These are the victories that we should be rejoicing at. Do you realize that needs to start with you, though? Sometimes it's easier to notice other areas, other people's areas they need to change in than to notice your own, right? If you want a good experience, I mean good in the sense of like kind of like eating your vegetables, doing those things that are good for you that you don't always enjoy, ask somebody else to discern your life where you need to change. And don't defend yourself, but be willing to submit to that. Because it's too often we have blinders. We can't see where we need to change. Now, the Word of God will get to us, and the Spirit of God. Now, maybe you've had that experience. You're reading the Word of God, and it's just like, oh, that's me. I've been doing that. It's easy to sit through a sermon and say, oh, I wish so-and-so were here. They need to hear this. But they're not here, are they? You are. And you're the one that God wants to work in. That's what God wants to do. Will we submit to it? Have you been changed and transformed so you are saved? First step, right? That's what everyone needs first, is to recognize your need of salvation from your sin that is killing you, right? Romans 6:22, the wages of sin is death. You are dying. And if nothing changed, you're going to spend eternity in hell, punished forever, as you righteously, justly deserve. That's the bad news. But the good news is that Jesus Christ died to rescue us from that. To the gift of eternal life is possible. And what do you have to do? Nothing except believe. Accept what He has told you to turn, repent and turn from your sin and trust in Jesus Christ alone. That's the first step. And then to serve God daily with your life. Romans 12:1-2. As it says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Right? It's reasonable because in light of what He's done for you, that you would live for Him daily. Now, you don't live for Him to try to earn His salvation. You can't. So Scripture is very clear on that. By the deeds of the law, no one will be justified in his sight. All our righteousness are like filthy rags. It's like the menstrual rags, is the word there. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. Right? You can't save yourself. But once you are saved, he intends for you to serve him as an expression of your love for him, of gratitude and thanksgiving. Living it out. Being not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you reprove or show what is that good and acceptable will of God. You want to know God's will for your life? It's for you to daily die to sin and to live for God. To say, God, here's my life. Use me however you want. This is what God wants. Are you doing that? Are you daily dying to self and living for God? Are you rejoicing as you look back and see where you've come from and how you've grown? I love as we go through, you know, the Lamplighter Bible studies over the years, the questions that ask of application, like, you know, where do you need to change and stuff like that. And as I go through back at a second time, and it's like, that's what God was doing in my life. That's what God was teaching me. And that's an encouragement as I look to the future. Have you found victories over worry, anger, lust, greed, covetousness, envy, laziness, gossip? That's just a sampling, right? That's possible through Jesus Christ. Have you learned to trust God, to learn self-control? You learned to control your desires, to be content, to work hard, to use your words to build up. And that's just Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. There's so many other passages that describe what God can do to be more than conquerors through Him who loved us, as Romans 8 describes. Do you realize how noticing and celebrating God at work in your present will help you as you face the future trials? James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Or it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, it's through the trials that God teaches us what we need to know to face the future. Because if you don't learn what you need to in the present, as my dad said one time, he said, problems are like circles. They just keep coming around. Until you learn what God wants you to. And some of us, our lives are on repeat, right? Don't get off that treadmill. Get off that track. And learn what God wants you to learn. Strengthen you as you face the future. Rejoice, though, at what God has done. He, in the midst of the trials, I was talking with someone recently, how their house burned. And he said, you know, he'd been through cancer before. And he said, you know, after this happened, it's just like, okay, God, what are you going to do next? What are you going to teach me through this? Because he learned so much going through cancer, he knew that God was going to use this house burning in their life. And he asked. And if you will pay attention to what God is doing, God works through each of your trials to transform you to be like Jesus Christ. Don't resist that process. Are you rejoicing at the present victories as encouragement for future challenges in living for God? I like to read books about U.S. victories in the past, especially World War II. The greatest generation has been called the defeating of Hitler, Japan, Mussolini. It was a hard time, but you look back and you're like, wow, some incredible victories. Also, like present military technology, it's just awe-inspiring, especially planes. If you notice my office every year, I always get a Jets calendar. I'm not talking the sport, okay? I'm talking, you know, those awesome machines that I had envisioned flying until I realized all the math and good eyesight that goes into it. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm out. So those are pretty impressive, right? But how much more are we envisioning the victories that God and His power enables? Right? That we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's the reality. That's the victory that is ours through Jesus Christ. We don't have to live this defeated life that we've been living. Are you remembering the past victories, rejoicing at the present victories? Are you seeing how God enables the conquering of kings of sin and death in your life? Father, we thank you for this passage, a challenge. Pray that you would help us to be encouraged as we face the future. Help us to live for you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.